lift your hands and let's appreciate the King of Kings who went to Calvary on our behalf. Where would we be? What would we do if he didn't go to Calvary on our behalf? Just worship him. Honor him. Adore him.
Save me, Lord. If you had a God for me, you could have sent me, Lord. If you had a plan for me, I'm thankful for your love. I'm grateful for your love. I'm indebted to you, Lord. And I'll need to worship you. I'm thankful for your love. I'm grateful for your love. I'm indebted to you, Lord, and I need you. You could not save me if you had it not for me. If you had a plan for me, I'm thankful for you. I'm grateful for your love. I'm indebted to you, Lord. And I'm
Father, we worship you. We honor you. We adore you. Be glorified and be honored in this service. I ask that not one person will live here the same way they have come. Do something new in our midst and glorify your name. Thank you, Master. In Jesus' precious name. Give the Lord a big clap and a shout of praise. Clap your hands, all ye people. And shout unto the Lord with a voice of triumph. A bigger, 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 bigger clap and a shout of praise. In Jesus' precious name. Please be seated in the presence of the Lord. I want to welcome you to a most explosive service this morning. It has been a very, 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 very interesting week. Interesting week in many, many ways. On Wednesday, one of the most important messages you will ever hear was preached on the subject of divine health, the roots and foundation for our divine health and healing. If you were not in that service, I'll encourage you to pick up that message, go through, and let God use it to deliver you from the season we are in, where the enemy seemed to be on rampage in afflicting people. And then by Thursday, when we were in Akwa Ibom State, one of the most explosive crusades you have ever seen. You will see the clip shortly if our people have recovered from the journey. Because we all arrived, I think, maybe close to 1 a.m. last night. And I'll give you the details. The drummers, the keyboardists, the cameramen, some of the protocol, and others that went. And it was a most interesting time. We received a state delegation, head of service, commissioners received us at the airport. And they were all along with the governor and his wife, the speaker of the house and his wife, and state executive were all at the crusade first night and also last night. I'll be giving you the details, and when the clip is ready, I will let you know. There is a balm in Gilead. Jeremiah chapter 8 and in verse 22, there is a balm in Gilead. He said, is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? There is a balm in Gilead, and there is a physician there. There is the oil in Gilead, and there is a physician. And this morning, the balm in Gilead shall be applied, and the physician shall do his work, and the healing shall be effected in Jesus' precious name. Before we go into that anointing for healing and health, look at Exodus chapter 23 and in verse 25. And ye shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water. And I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. There shall nothing cast their young nor be barren in thy land. The number of thy days I will fulfill. Give the Lord a shout of praise. Going forward in the course of the month, we shall be looking at various things that will guarantee our divine health. And this morning, we are looking at kingdom service and divine health. In this Holy Ghost service, before the balm is applied. Kingdom service and divine health. Our objective is to understand the relationship between kingdom service and divine health. Second, we shall be understanding the way in which kingdom service produces divine health. And thirdly, we shall be understanding how to serve effectively. Understanding the relationship between kingdom service, that is serving God, and divine health. Understanding the way in which kingdom service brings about divine health. And then understanding how to serve God effectively and productively. How our service to God will bring about results. Throughout scripture, it is made very clear that there is a very strong relationship between serving God and living in strength and health. And I am going to look at three examples. An example per service. The relationship between serving God and living in strength and health. Example number one is the example of Abraham. We saw this briefly in the midweek service. Abraham was officially called the servant of the Lord. Psalm 105 and in verse 6, Bible speaking says, "O ye seed of Abraham, his servant." Seed of Abraham, his servant. Ye children of Jacob, his chosen. Verse 42 of Psalm 105 also says, Psalm 105 verse 42, "For he remembered his holy promise, and Abraham, his servant." So Abraham officially served God to the point where he was called his servant. What was the strength of Abraham? First, Abraham went into battle at the age of almost 100, defeating the army of four nations, in Genesis chapter 14, verse 14, all the way to verse 17. And when Abraham heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his three servants born in his own house, 318, and pursued them unto Dan. And he divided himself against them, he and his servants by night, and smote them, and pursued them unto Hobah, which is on the left hand of Damascus. And he brought back all the goods, and also brought again his brother Lot, and his goods, and the women also, and the people. And the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of Kedorlaomer and of the kings that were with him at the valley of Shaveh, which is the king's. A man as old as almost 100 going into battle by himself, slaying kings with the strength and the energy of God. Secondly, Abraham undertook a 3-day mountain expedition at the instruction of God when it was time to go to sacrifice Isaac. In Genesis chapter 22, verse 1 to 4, a 3-day mountain expedition. This was around when Abraham will be about 118, 120 years old. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, "Abraham," and he said, "Behold, here I am." And he said, "Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of." And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and cleared the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went on to the place which God had told him. Look at this. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. When was the last time you saw an old man of 120 years undertook a journey that was involving the climbing of a mountain? That was the strength, the energy, the vitality of Abraham. We saw again, thirdly, that Abraham had enough strength to prepare an altar and bound his son himself. In Genesis chapter 22 and in verse 9, Abraham erected the altar himself. He built the altar himself, laid the wood in order by himself, nobody assisting him. Bound Isaac his son, laid him on the altar upon the wood himself. What a strength. What energy? I speak to somebody here today. Even though your years are increasing, your strength shall not reduce. That amen can be better. If you are saying amen, shout the loudest amen. If you are saying amen, shout the louder believers amen. Even though your strength shall be increasing, your years shall be increasing, your strength shall not reduce. The Bible said, as your days, so shall your strength be. I'm not sure I can boast of 3 hours sleep last night. But here we are on the journey, stronger than most people who slept for 6 hours last night. As your days, so shall your strength be. I am here to announce to somebody in the name that is above every name, every trace of weakness in your life, in your system, disappears right now. It disappears right now. Shout in louder believers, amen. You know, the most exciting one to me, after Sarah's death, this is the second preaching. After Sarah's death, Genesis chapter 23, verse 1 to 2. And Sarah was 127 years, that's 127 years old. And these were the years of the life of Sarah. And Sarah died in Kiriath Arba at the age of 127. After Sarah's death. And you know Abraham was 10 years older. Which means if Sarah died at age 127, Abraham was 137. Abraham gave birth at the age of 100. Sarah gave birth at the age of 90. So Abraham was 137 years old when he remarried. That is that age, almost 140. In Genesis 25, verse 1 to 2. Then again, Abraham took a wife, and her name was Keturah, and she bare him Zimran, and Jokshan, and Midan, and Midian, and Ishbak, and Shua. 6 sons at age 137. What is more interesting was that Abraham was remarrying after Isaac had married. That is the Isaac that he did not give birth to on time. The Isaac he gave birth to at age 100. Isaac got a wife. Then Abraham is getting a new wife afresh. That was Genesis chapter 24, verse 67. Abraham remarried in chapter 25. Isaac married in chapter 24, verse 67. And Isaac brought her wife Rebekah into his mother Sarah's tent and took Rebekah, and she became his wife. And he loved her, and Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. Which kind of man is this? You are marrying new wife after your son that you didn't born on time has married. What kind of strength is this? It is the strength of kingdom service. It is the health of kingdom service. And to crown it all, he died in good old age, sickless and energetic. Genesis 25 and in verse 7 and in verse 8, he died in, and these are the days of the years of Abraham's life, which he lived, 103 years and 50. Then Abraham gave up the ghost and died in a good old age, an old man and full of years, and was gathered to his people. No devil will cut your life short. If you are saying amen, say it like a believer. Say a louder believer, say amen. Say amen like you mean it. Lift your right and say, I shall fulfill my days. I cannot be cut short before my time. I shall fulfill my days. Shout the loudest amen. So kingdom service. secret of divine strength and divine health. Question is, how does kingdom service bring about divine health? I'll give a reason in this service. I'll continue the next service. One, divine health is a kingdom health insurance policy for kingdom laborers. It's a kingdom health insurance policy. Everything you see in the physical is a shadow of the spiritual. You know that man was made in the image of God and the earth was made in the image of heaven. I'm sure you are aware of that. Not this earth, the Garden of Eden, that one, that beautiful one. In the book of John and in chapter 15, verse 2, John chapter 15 and in verse 2, the Bible said, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, that is fruitful, that is a laborer, he purges it, that he may bring forth much fruit. He said, for as long as you are a fruit-bearing branch, I am committed to your health. This is how I normally put it. That God services those who serve. To serve the Lord is to be serviced by the Lord. There are times when you are lying down in the night, exhausted and tired, and the angels are servicing your body. Servicing your system, servicing. Those who serve the Lord are serviced by the Lord. I've witnessed that practically many times. Told you the story one day, after I had overworked myself, I lay down on the bed, fanned out. And as if it was telling a little bit on the body. My wife was a bit concerned. Because she knows this guy is very, very restless and very aggressive. I was just lying down. Then suddenly her eyes opened. And she saw an angel just standing in front of the bed. Like, calm down. His system is all right. And he just jerked up out of there and begin to preach the next preaching like a man from another world. For 25 solid years, by God's grace, there has never been a service I have missed once by his message. On the grounds of weakness. Hello? Why are they clapping? Eh? Yesterday I was preparing two messages at once for the before I went for the crusade in the evening. Sunday service message. And the crusade evening night message. Because the Sunday service message must go out. I was even wondering how to cope. The sleep of a laboring man is sweet. When you labor for Jehovah, when you sleep 1 hour, it is equal to some people 6 hours. Am I communicating at all? There is a kingdom health insurance policy. And by his grace, I trust the Lord that that testimony will remain permanently by his message. That okay, for this particular service, Wednesday or Tuesday or Sunday, he had been absent or something because he was weak or sick or whatever. By his message, that hadn't been. Will never be by his grace. In the book of Malachi chapter 3 and in verse 17, Malachi chapter 3 and in verse 17, it said, and they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them, I will service them, I will keep them whole, as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. I will spare him. I will service him. What others go through, I will take him from it. I will deliver him from what others pass through. As a man spareth his son that serveth him. Maybe you have been serving God, and the devil has also been tormenting you. Today is the end of it forever. If you are saying amen, say it louder, amen. If you are saying amen, shout the loudest, amen. If you are saying amen, shout the loudest, believers, amen. The last time the devil put you down shall be the last forever. Take your seat. It is Kingdom Health Insurance Policy. If you work for big organizations and great corporations, they have insurance package, health insurance. They have a robust health allowance. Even this small place here that we are working, the staff of this place, God forbid if they have any little challenge, there is some level of not just prayer that is assisted them. When you work for places like the United Nations, like those kind of big organizations, it's totally covered. How much more the kingdom? And Jehovah does not send you to hospital. He is the hospital. He doesn't send you to any. He is the great physician. You work for me, I check out the afflictions from your system. I announce to somebody here, whatever was in your system before you came here today is checking out back to hell. Say amen like you mean it. In louder believers, amen. Very, very quickly, what kinds of kingdom service do we have to offer? I'm going to be really fast in this. And this is going to be the same throughout, except that different scriptures might be used. Number one is the service of the sanctuary. The service of the sanctuary. Exodus chapter 36 and in verse 1. It said, then wrought Bezalel and Aholiah, and every wise-hearted man in whom the Lord put wisdom and understanding to know how to walk all manner of work for the service of the sanctuary. Serving God in his sanctuary. Making the sanctuary a place of encounter with God for others who come. All the way from sanctuary keepers, all the way to choir, to ushering, to the protocol, all the way to intercessors, the ones we see, the ones we can't see, to those who control the traffic, and everybody involved in making sure people encounter God comfortably as they come. The service of the sanctuary. When I rededicated my life to Christ in the year of 1986, 12th of May, nobody advised me. I cleaned the chairs out in the fellowship where I went, on campus there, and then stood at the exit and began to welcome others to church. I wasn't there. That was my first time. The service of the sanctuary. Number two is the service of prayer. When you commit yourself to intercession and praying for the establishment of God's purpose in the earth, in the church, in Luke chapter 2, verse 36 to verse 37, the Bible said, and there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age, and she lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. That is, and she was a widow of about 84 years, 84. She departed not from the temple, but served God by cleaning chairs, not that type of service now. Served God by ushering people, not that type for this particular one now. She served God with fastings and what? Prayers, night and day. Praying and fasting for the kingdom is a service. It's a kingdom service. Many times when you mention prayer, people only think about what to ask from God for themselves. That is elementary prayer. That is kindergarten prayer. When you take it upon yourself, souls must be saved. The church must explode. The crusade coming the devil must bow. It is service. It is a service that guarantees your divine health package. The service of the sanctuary. The service of prayer. Third, the service of soul winning. But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Acts chapter 1 verse 8. And ye shall be witnesses of me. I am putting you in this assignment unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. The service of soul winning. The crusade we went into in Akwa Ibom, there are those who took it upon themselves restlessly day and night. Pray. Hit the road running. The service of soul winning. The service of soul winning. Very important. This is one of those services that makes God. You see, when you do the things that touch the heart of God, you don't need to beg God to do the things that touches you. The service of soul winning. In Akwa Ibom State yesterday, after the morning session, explosive morning session, I then went to see our church location that they are building afresh, and then another pastor asked me to come and break the ground for their new church building. We went, and then by the time we finished with that one, people had gathered around the roadside. And evangelism continued. That is, we are not just looking for big crowd on the crusade ground. We are still interested in one-on-one. There are some jokers who say, I'm a global evangelist. He hasn't preached to one person on the street before. And he's waiting until the stadium is filled for him to come and stand and show his arrogance. He has not preached to one person before. Hallelujah. Now, you don't need to be a pastor to preach the gospel. Everybody's called. This service of soul winning is a service that will change your life. If at least you cannot preach, you can invite somebody to follow you to church. And you take it as part of your service to God for someone's life to be changed. It is the service of soul winning. Number four is the service of worship. In the scripture, they called it the service of song. In 1 Chronicles chapter 6 and in verse 31. 1 Chronicles chapter 6 and in verse 31. And these are they whom David set over the service of song in the house of the Lord after that the ark had rest. Now the choir officially are doing the service in that regard called the service of song. But every single person that is called is a child of God is to offer to show forth praises. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You are called unto a service of songs. Is God speaking to somebody here at all? In your closet, in your personal life. There are times I don't understand why people just They are just normal during praise worship. Nothing moves them. Except there is a football match playing. Hey, kick the ball. You see their energy when it's football or when a movie on the television. If anything moves you more than God, something is wrong. If anything moves you more than the things of God, something is absolutely very wrong. Priorities are inverted. If your excitement is turned on by anything else more than God, something is wrong. It's not only this church. Anywhere you catch me, you can't catch me standing like Standard Bank when praise is going on. Is it not my God? They are worshiping my Jehovah who pulled me out of nowhere, who delivered me from disaster and death in childhood. The same God who is keeping me alive. The stone the builders rejected and has become the head of the corner. I am going to dance and overdance. I am going to celebrate and over celebrate. Is God speaking to somebody here at all? I am. No. It's not. You can't keep me. Except the other day, I was coming to the office here and I heard some music around and my shoulder started moving like worship music. And somebody said, you are moving. I said, if you don't want my body to move, don't praise. It is wired inherent. I don't need your advice. By the time it's glory, whatever. It may be on the road. At times I have to catch myself to be sure that the music is the correct one. Is God speaking to somebody here at all? Take your seat in the praise of the Lord. It is the service of worship and praise. And then you have the service of giving. Your giving is a service. And we are not just talking about tithe now, that's elementary. The Bible said, a seed shall serve him. Psalm 22 and in verse 30. The seed shall serve him. Shall serve him. A seed shall serve him. It shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. A seed. Your seed does service. Is it possible to function the way we are functioning now? Without the ministry of seed. No. Will you finish? How many of you saw me preaching at the crusade in Akwa Ibom last night? Last night. When did the crusade finish? To 10. Is there any airport in Nigeria that you will go by 10 or 11 and say, I want to catch flight to Abuja? No. But we have 3 private airplanes. 3. 1, 2, 3. Waiting on the ground. Struggling to pick us. I had to beg this one. I said, we followed you to go. Please allow us to follow the other one so that they too can receive a blessing. One person sent his own. Another person sent his own. Another person chartered one. To carry us, carry television crew, carry ICT crew, carry drummers, carry instrumentalists, carry musicians. To return back for all of us to be in the service this morning. That is the purpose of money. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That is why the devil is against the prosperity of the church. Because he knows we'll do more with resources than without resources. But I announce to somebody here today, in the name that is above every name, there is no power of shortage, no power of scarcity that will prevent you from doing the will of God in this end time. And I'm so happy with our evangelistic approach. The airplane that was brought is not for the big man. It's also for the drummer. Provided you're on the tip. It's as good as entering a bus. Many of them is the first time in their life. But they have to, because they are identified with the work of God. Am I communicating at all? They are identified with the work of God. It is a service. It is a service. It is a service when you say, Lord, here is my sheep, like Peter gave to the master to use it to fish. Here is my resources. Here is what? Here is my tool. Here is my equipment. I make it available. It is a service. It is a service that causes Jehovah to service you. I announce to somebody here today, in the name of Jesus, a new season is upon you. A new day is upon you. Shout the loudest, amen. Shout the loudest, amen. Shout amen at the top of his or your voice. Take your seat in the presence of the Lord. The airport was extended. They say, you can't close. These people have to go before you close. Extended till any time the crusade finished. Am I communicating at all? It is good to serve the Lord and to serve Him passionately. It is good to make ourselves, our lives, a living sacrifice. It is more rewarding than it is demanding. Very, very quickly, before I round up this morning, how do you serve God effectively and productively? How do you serve God effectively and productively? Number one, serve with faith and understanding. With faith and understanding. What am I talking about? That is, you are serving with the faith and the understanding that God is not using you. Neither are you helping God. That this I am doing is for my benefit. In the book of Hebrews chapter 6, chapter 11 verse 6, it said, "For without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder," not a user, not a user, not a user. "He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." And one of the ways he rewards is to keep you in health. You serve with the faith and the understanding that God is not using you. Whatever you are doing for God is more beneficial to you than to the kingdom. That understanding is necessary. It's more beneficial to you than to the kingdom. Number two, serve heartily and passionately. Let service come from the heart. In Romans chapter 12, verse 11. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Don't serve sluggishly. Don't be looking for who should be saying thank you, thank you, thank you all the time. From your heart with passion. Because you know you are not doing this thing unto man. Serve heartily, passionately. Number three, serve excitedly and enthusiastically. Excitedly and enthusiastically. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 47, all the way to verse 48, he said, "Because you serve not the Lord your God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart, for the abundance of all things. Therefore, you will serve your enemy." Somebody say, "God forbid." And if you don't serve God excitedly, you serve your enemy. I mean, if you are not happy, just leave it alone. Don't serve as if you are under pressure. Don't serve like you are doing someone a favor. Serve excitedly, enthusiastically. Be a happy-looking usher. Happy-looking greeter. Happy-looking traffic control officer. Be excited, irrespective of what happens. The reason why this is important is you can do the right thing with the wrong spirit and lack every result. There are people serving God for donkey years. There is nothing to show. Quarreling with everybody while he's on duty. Sit down here. I say, sit down here. Pack your car here. Pack your car here. Am I your servant here? You two should be controlling traffic. Is it because I'm helping you? That is plus one, minus one, zero, zero. See, a lot of people say, where there is no revelation, there can be no revolution. There will be no manifestation. It is not what you do that matters, but the spirit with which you did it. If I am speaking now and preaching to you and getting very angry, and be angrier, all of you church members, look at you. See how, look at you. Because I'm here helping you. People won't even allow somebody to rest. You know what? You know there are people God has sacked, but they are still preaching. God retired them, but they are still preaching. Are you the one talking to my children like that? I have other people that I can use. I have retired you, but you are still on the altar, but I have retired you. Am I communicating? It is not what is done that counts, but the spirit with which it was done. The Bible says with God, actions are weighed. Actions are weighed. Actions are weighed. Was that 1 Samuel chapter 200 verse 4 or 5 or something? Actions are weighed. 3. Talk no more exceeding proudly. Let not arrogance come out of your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. He doesn't just see what you do. He sees the reason why you are doing it. The spirit behind the deed. Take your seat, people. Very, very important. Serve excitedly, enthusiastically. Number 4. Serve uprightly and reverentially. Uprightly. In Hebrews chapter 12 and in verse 28. He said, wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably and with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. Don't be a crook and then you are in church pretending that you are right. When people come from your office and they look at you very, very quiet and gentle, is this the person that is gentle like this? Wonders will never end. Because they know you on Monday. They know you on Tuesday. He said, don't waste your life. He said, serve him reverently. Behave in your office as if you are in the church. Behave with your wife or husband as if you are in the church. Then your service can be accepted and not corrupted. Finally, serve in humility. Serve selflessly and in humility. Selflessly. Acts of the Apostles chapter 20 and in verse 17. Paul the Apostle speaking said, and from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, you know, from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you all at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, not with arrogance of life. With all humility of mind. Humility. Humility of mind, not with pride and ostentation. No matter how gifted you are, calm down. No matter how anointed you are, calm down. No matter how talented you are, calm down. If we don't serve God in this way, a little leaven leavened the whole lump. Right? You did everything well, but you added yeast to the flour. So the dough exploded. A little leaven, small kerosene spoiled the taste of the food. Give him the adoration. Give him the worship. The supremacy, the dominion, the rule, and the sovereignty. Father, we worship you. Father, we honor you. Father, we adore you. Blessed be your name. Honor to your name. Worship to your name. Adoration to your name. Thank you, Master. Thank you, Adonai. Thank you, Elion. Thank you, Rebecca. In Jesus' precious name. I want you to lift up your hands everywhere you are and say, Father, I have received your word today. I receive the grace to serve you. To serve you in the sanctuary. To serve you in prayer. To serve you in soul winning. To serve you in worship. To serve you in giving. I receive the grace to serve you with faith and understanding. To serve you heartily and passionately. To serve you excitedly and enthusiastically. To serve you in uprightness and with reverence. I receive the grace to serve you with humility and selflessness. Engrace me, Lord. I'm sorry for how I served you in the time past that produced no result. Give me the grace to serve you well, to serve you correctly, in the name of Jesus. Open your mouth and speak to God right now. Father, we give you the praise. Lift your hands high. I want to give straightforwardly a call for everyone who is in need of surrender to Jesus today. You want your sins forgiven. You want today to mark a new day for you. You quickly pick your Bible. All right, wherever you are, pray this prayer with me. You want to make your ways right with Jesus. You have not served God the way you should. You are saying, Jesus, come into my life. Make me a new person. I have decided today to follow you and not turning back. Pray this prayer with me and say, Lord Jesus. Say it louder. Say, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner in need of help. Come into my life. Make me a new person. From today, I go forward and backward. Help me, Lord, to love you, to live for you. Thank you, Master. In Jesus' name. Amen. All those who pray that prayer, quickly pick your Bibles and your bags and rush to the front here. I'll give you the count of seven. And even if you didn't pray that prayer and you want to make it right with Jesus, quickly step forward. One. Two. Three. Every moment I'm away. Have your way, Lord. Have your way. place your right hand on your chest, those of you standing here, and say after me, Lord Jesus. Say it louder, Lord Jesus. I come before you today. Again, I receive your help. Help me to live for you. And thank you, Lord. In Jesus' precious name. I pray for you, that hold of sin broken and grace to live for God be released upon you. In Jesus' name. Amen.